Warning. The following broadcast you're about to listen to is filled to the brim with explicit adult language and content. Don't like it? Don't listen to it. Don't complain about it. Just ignore it. If you like it or don't mind it, then listen up and enjoy the show. Welcome to the Regimental Vox, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer and wargaming in general. I am your host and Vox operator for the evening, Caleb Meyer. It is Monday, August 2nd, 2021. This is episode 96. And before I get any further, I just want to say I'm trying something a little bit different with my recording software as far as settings and stuff goes. So I've been monkeying around with it. I think I got something kind of working. I'm basically trying to find a way that I can record without having the microphone being like straight up down my throat. I'm not looking to deep throat my mic. That's just no. I'm recording this with some different settings. So if anything sounds off, volume balance is off, whatever, I apologize. I'm going to do my best to, you know, edit things appropriately and whatnot. But I think I got a good setup now. And if I get all the way done recording and find out if it's still salvageable, at least I'll use it. Otherwise, I might have to re-record. So I'd rather just give you the heads up now that if there's something off about the audio, that's why. So anyway, let's get into it. So what's going on in my neck of the woods? Well, admittedly, we're actually going to discuss in greater detail some stuff going on in my neck of the woods after the break. We're going to go over league shit. But not just me retelling battle report shit, but actually diving into stuff, tactics speaking and all that jazzaroo. So, but beyond that, I've been really busy this past week. Actually, that's part of why there was no episode last week. Had a few changes scheduling wise and stuff kind of at the last minute that once again kind of got in the way. So, I know it happens a lot. It's unfortunate that it happens a lot, but I also have some ideas and plans on how I might be changing that here very soon. And if I do change that, it's still in the works. I'm not going to spoil anything or anything like that. I'm pretty excited about the idea, but I don't know if it's going to pan out. So, the idea I have will make me very, happy if it works. But anywho, before I get way the fuck off topic, if I do end up doing the new plan idea, it's not a plan yet. It's just an idea. It's a thought. Then it will probably end up in the podcast being released no longer on Mondays anyways. I mean, obviously, lately they haven't been because, once again, scheduling shit and whatnot. I might still try to record them on Mondays, but I probably wouldn't have the time to get it edited and posted on Monday as well. But we'll see. We'll see. You know, time will tell. Once again, my idea and thoughts may lead to a whole lot of nothing anyways. So, I haven't had a whole shit ton of time for hobbying. That being said, my lovely wife, we just picked her up that Beast Snaggas box, last week. Haven't started working on building any of the stuff because she's still working on painting up, her, you know, current lot of boys and stuff. We've been, mulling over that new Orc Codex, and holy fuck, is this thing spicy as fuck. It's, wow. That's some, you know, crazy fucking Carolina Reaper level shit. all I'll say is, I really like this book so far. Beyond that, we just haven't, like I said, haven't done a whole lot of hobbying. We did some gaming, not this past week, but the week before, which we will go over after the break. But other than that, that's about it. There's not much to report, you know, in the, what's going on in my neck of the woods or in the newsy bits. There are some cool things in the newsy bits, but a lot of them aren't really going to be applicable in the immediate. But anywho, let's get to the newsy bits. For starters, I do want to throw out that in the realm of the digital entertainment, Warhammer 40,000 Battle Sector has finally been released, and it's pretty fucking baller, so I would definitely check it out if I was you. It really does a good job of giving you a similar tactical feel without it being a copy-paste of Warhammer, or without it being, like, too far off base from the general feel and aesthetic of the Warhammer universe. So personally, I would say it's one of the better ones I've played in a long time. Gladius, when did that come out? Not last year, the year before, if I remember correctly. Gladius was the last major 40k game, I think. Well, no, I take that back, because, like, as far as things set in the Warhammer universe, there was, Hired Gun and shit like that, I haven't played that one at all. And then there's, admittedly, too, once you include just the Warhammer universe at large, Stormground, which I played a little bit of the beta, back where, before it was released, and that was pretty cool, but it was, you know, had some stuff going on with it, bugs-wise and whatnot, and, when it finally released, the reviews were not they were not terrible, but they were definitely like, yep, big shock, fucking bugs, and didn't really fix anything from the beta, and blah, blah, blah. So, I reserve final judgment for when I, you know, once they've updated and fixed shit, and once I can get my hands on it. So, but, so that is a cool thing that I highly recommend you check out. So, moving on, I don't think there is a date yet for this. Let me try to dig through this new article here. Yes, okay, so there's not a specific time frame. I was gonna say Kill Team is coming up here very soon. We just don't have a specific time. The main reason I was bringing it up is if you pay attention at all to, like, Warhammer TV and stuff like that, they're starting to put out, like, the how to paint videos. There's a lot more articles coming out on the community page regarding Kill Team and such. So if you're excited, and honestly, I'm very excited. Last time around, I didn't really get into Kill Team at all. I was excited for it before it released this stuff, but I just didn't really get around to it. But I loved the concept. Everything I'm seeing, though, with this new version of Kill Team, I'm very excited to see how that goes. So, and give it a spin. But yeah, there's not a specific time frame, but it does say in the latest article even, steadily approaching the new edition's pre-orders in just a few weeks' time. So, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say pre-ordering late August, releasing sometime early September. That's kind of where I'm leaning. Although, that being said, the other big thing is Hexfire. There's another big-ass box set coming from the good old G-Dubs that's starting pre-orders this coming weekend. That's going to be Thousand Suns versus Grey Knights. Pretty nice-looking box overall if you're looking to start, either army. Not a lot of people have, I've seen commented on the fact that the Thousand Suns side, at least in particular, does not have, it's not exactly an optimized thing, but nobody buys these box sets typically because they're optimized armies or anything like that. You buy them because it's a lot of cool models. If you want those models, it's generally way fucking cheaper or better, or like much better value than buying all that shit separately anyways. So Hexfire is coming out, Grey Knights versus Thousand Suns. You're also going to have the Grey Knight Codex and Thousand Suns Codex both launching as well. So that's very, very exciting. Dice, data cards, the usual jazzaroo that GW loves to add on to all of their releases. Thinking about, like, Kill Team Octarius and Hexfire here, Yeah, I don't know. And two codexes. I would love to get my hands on all of this shit. I really would. You know, getting Hexfire would go a long way towards helping me on my hobby goal, lifetime, long time hobby goal. That was just a weird way of saying it, but whatever. The goal that I have in my life from a hobby perspective is to have at least a small army of each faction. You know, so that way, A, I can mess around with it. B, I like the idea of collecting all of them. And C, you know, that way I have little introductory forces at minimum that if somebody's interested in learning about the game, trying the game out, etc., or maybe they're familiar with the game more, but they don't know what faction they really want to play as, or they're thinking about playing a new faction or whatever, that way I have a means of being like, hey, check this out. This is pretty cool. You know, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, but between that and like Octarius, which admittedly, I'm really excited about Octarius, between Deathcore Krieg there and fucking the Orc Commandos, which I'd really like to make, you know, I'd really like to get my hands on those for my wife and stuff. You know, just constantly got to be building up that Orc collection. So, yeah, you know, between the two of them, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get both or either or whatever, but here's, you know, fingers crossed, I would like to do so. So, admittedly, my birthday is coming up. Yes, wife, if you're listening, there's my birthday. It's in a few weeks. Oh, fuck, I just realized, yeah. 1, 2, 3. God damn, I turned 35 in 4 fucking weeks from today. Ugh. Okay, anywho. Moving on, as far as what's currently on tap for pre-order, we do have, new Sisters of Battle reinforcements and such. The, Combat Patrol is, being released finally. It is literally the, Sisters starter box set from, like, before they launched the rest of the line and stuff. Kind of like what the Beast Snaggers thing, you know, where they did this, like, preview box set, you know, get the codex before the codex is out. And all that shit. It's literally the same exact fucking set, and it comes with a rhino. That's it. That's the only difference. It includes a rhino. Whether or not this is a great deal, well, admittedly, it says you can pre-order now, so I didn't know the price right off the top of my head. Click the button. $140. Yeah. I would say it's not a terrible deal at all. I just bumped my mic, so apologies if it made any noise. These are all monopose is the one thing I will say. So keep that in mind if you're looking at the value of this Combat Patrol box. It's a little bit harder to gauge its value. You can totally say a box of Battle Sisters costs X, a box of Sisters Repentant costs Y. You know, one Penitent Engine out of a box of two would cost this much, blah, blah, blah. But because these are all monopose, they're not the exact same kits. So, yeah, I think everybody gets what I'm getting at. You know, you can't really value it directly against the same box sets separately. You know, whereas, for example, I was just talking about Hexfire there. All of the kits that are in Hexfire are available to purchase separately, or in the case of the new characters, will be available to purchase separately eventually. That these are not going to be monopose builds. These are taking the kits that are already out that you could go buy off the shelf and cramming them together and cutting a discount on it. So, yeah, I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to say that the Battle Sisters combat box here is going to be a load of shit. Or that it's a terrible value or whatever else. I just think that it's harder to gauge its actual value compared to the multi-pose line itself. So they also finally have the Castigator available for pre-order, which I would like to add one of these to my army, honestly. It's kind of an expensive kit for what it is. $80 is a lot for something that's not, you know, a multi-build option. And once again, if anybody listened to my thoughts on the Castigator way back when they first showed off the model from a modeling perspective and a modeling and aesthetics perspective. I got mixed feelings on it. I really do like it. I feel like they just could have done more with it. So, do I want to add this to my army? Yes, because I'm just a fucking whore for GW plastic crack. You know, I want a little bit of everything. A little reference my wife will get. I love you. Anywho, but yeah, you know, overall, I mixed feelings. I doubt I'll be buying one this weekend, I guess is my point. So, they'll also have Astrid Thurga, the Reliquant at Arms. This model is also kind of a weird one, in appearance. I admit that I haven't actually bothered looking at the rules for this model in any capacity because it hasn't been out. The Castigator, I've looked at its rules a little bit and stuff, and you know, it adds some punch, admittedly, to an army that's lacking in just a solid AT option. You know, as far as a good solid long range AT option, yeah, there's the Exorcist, but that's it. That's kind of just it's an Exorcist or bust. This does give you some other flexibility and options compared to the Exorcist. So, but whether or not that makes it better for AT purposes is debatable. I don't know. Wow. I don't know, you know, if you need to call the Bondulance because I'm having a stronk, but I cannot word right now. excuse me. There's also the Battle Zone Caradon terrain set coming out that, you know, it's primarily just, I think it's just made out of, like, old kits. I don't think there's anything new in it. Not that I can see. And comes with a tile board and stuff. So, you know, it's nice that GW is doing more with terrain and stuff like that, providing more options. But what this just being a repackaged rehash for the most part, it's a little underwhelming, but you know, it is what it is. So, but yeah, this coming weekend should be pretty big for Sisters players, in particular, and those who want terrain. But yeah, that's you know, that is what it is. So moving on, the other biggest thing that I wanted to mention was this Battle Honors thing. So Battle Honors is going to be a way to for newbies as well as veterans who are just looking to set a specific goal in mind and stuff. It's a free thing to sign up for. Basically, there's I think it's 50 activities that are listed, and you follow along on these activities, and you go to your local Warhammer store, and for each activity you complete, they'll give you a stamp, and then every time you get a certain amount of activities, you'll receive a bonus reward. So there's even like a cool little certificate you get after you get 30 activities done. And then there's more rewards and stuff too, but yeah, they have like cases and dice and stuff like that. Nothing that's going to like change your fucking world by any means, but you know, it's at least something, you know, and like I said, in particular for, people who are new to the hobby, gives them a nice set structure and goal. So, but yeah. Oh, and one last thing, this was announced today, fucking dragons. There's more dragons coming to Age of Sigmar, in the form of Stormcast Eternals riding dragons. So everybody probably has seen these, you know, new dragon announcements and stuff. And a lot of people are shitting their pants over it. I'm going to just be super fucking blunt, hot take. I'm sure I'm going to be hated. I could give a fuck less about dragons for the most part. I'm sorry. To me, like, okay, having like the half dragon, half whatever, the Dracolith or whatever they fucking call, in the fucking Stormcast is one thing. But some of these are legitimately just regular ass dragons. And for me, Age of Sigmar has such a creative and interesting bend, aesthetically speaking, on the concept of a fantasy game. that bringing boring ass dragons. Yeah, like I said, I know, I'm sure I'm going to get some shit for this, but I don't care. Bringing some boring ass dragons is just not interesting to me. They're not super creative, you know, or anything like that from an aesthetical design perspective. They exist. They're fucking dragons. Dragons are in every fucking form of fantasy lore ever known to man. You know, at least put an interesting spin on them. I mean, like, take orcs, for example. Orcs have been around for a long ass time. They're in multiple lore sets, etc., etc. And GW did not invent the orc, you know, at all, by any stretch. So, but GW has taken the orc and made some really interesting and unique changes, you know, from what would be considered quote-unquote traditional orc lore and whatnot, and kind of made it its own thing. Even like Nighthaunt, one could say, oh, well, undead ghosts, big fucking deal, or Soulblight Gravelords, vampires and zombies, ooh. But they've aesthetically gone out of their way to make things different and interesting. You know, that it has a specific look to it. These look like dragons, just like your run-of-the-mill standard-ass dragon. It's a dragon. And I know one would say, dragons aren't real, so how do you have a standard-ass dragon? You fucking have a standard-ass dragon. If I say, hey, you know what a dragon looks like, right? Most people will just immediately have the same fucking image in their head. You know, everybody knows what a dragon is. So, fuck off, dragons. I don't care. I mean, they might add some cool stuff to the game and whatnot, gameplay-wise. I don't know. I'm sure my son is going to want to add these fucking dragons to his Stormcast army and stuff, and that's fine, you know. But I just, like I said, I feel like this is a really lazy step on GW's part, because they're just making regular-ass dragons. All right, anywho, enough talking about the regular-ass, bullshitty-ass dragons. I am being harsher than probably necessary, because I find it somewhat amusing to listen to myself bitch and moan about dragons, because on the flip side, who the fuck cares, realistically speaking? It's, if you want dragons, play with your fucking dragons. I'm not going to give you shit for having dragons. If you like dragons, I'm not going to give you shit for liking dragons. Whatever. I'm just saying, personally, I feel like GW's being lazy by putting dragons in like this. Just plain-ass dragons. Anyway, moving on. I'm going to go ahead and take a quick break. When I come back, we're going to go ahead and cover All right, let's try that again, brain. When I come back from the break, we're going to go ahead and cover some stuff as far as my league games, Krista's league games, and some tactics stuff, so stay tuned. Welcome back to the Regimental Vox. So back for the break now. I wanted to talk about my experience with my first round so far of my league games of 40K Crusade 9th edition. So, for starters, it was pretty crazy coming out of this. Admittedly, the pandemic looks like we're headed towards possibly even worse times than we were, but, you know, during the quote-unquote height of the pandemic. And it's really depressing and stuff to think about that. We're finally all starting to feel some sense of normal life again, and it could be falling apart. But I don't want to turn this into that. So we're not going to go down that road. But the point is, it was a really weird feeling finally getting out and playing games with other people outside of my house for the first time since 2019, I think. You know, we're almost into 2022 at this point, and finally getting an opportunity to throw some fucking dice in a league and stuff. It was really fucking nice. It really was. If you're listening and, you know, you've been without for a long time, I hope, and whether you're ready to get out and back into the wild or not, you know, this isn't about that, like I said, but I hope when you do, decide to throw some dice that it means to you what it meant to me to do so. And I hope, too, that if you already have thrown some dice down, that you get that same sense of meaningful impact. Since we've been, you know, unable to do a lot of this shit for a long fucking time. So, I hope it means as much to you as it did to me, is my point. So, now, that being said, let's cover how the games went. I've only played one of my two opponents from my pairings so far. Krista did play both of her opponents that same night, though, that I played against the one. I have my next game, last game for this round, scheduled for this Wednesday. We'll see how it goes. So, I played my sister's force against a Thousand Suns army. My sisters consisted of a Canonist, Palatine, and Dogmata. Two squads of Battle Sisters, 10 apiece, and a small squad of Celestian Sacrosants. That was it. My opponent had a Demon Prince and a squad of Rubric Marines, and if I recall correctly, that was it. I lost. Middle of second turn. I should change my wording. I didn't lose. I was tabled by the middle of the second turn. It was fucking embarrassing. Did I go on tilt? No, I didn't. I really didn't. I was momentarily, like, right when I suddenly had half my army wiped out in one phase. I was sitting there just, like, shocked, basically, like, too stunned to really be angry about it. I wasn't like, whoa, that was crazy. I was more like, oh, cool, okay. But beyond that, then I was just like, well, the game's fucking done anyways. I'm just gonna play stupid at this point, basically. You know, use command points for silly shit that, or to try and reroll shit that I know is not gonna make a difference. My game was fucked. I was done. And that was that. Honestly, I haven't had a shutout game like that in I don't know how long. The last major one I can think of that was just a ridiculous, just complete and utter stupid shutout, was way back, I don't know, fourth or fifth edition, maybe? I don't even fucking remember. I went over to my buddy Alan's house at the time, and I had my Imperial Guard, because they were called Imperial Guard back then, against his Space Wolves. Things went so bad so quickly for me that we decided to just restart the game. Like, literally pulled everything off the table. We picked a different mission. We, pick different deployment zones, blah, blah, blah. Like, we went out of our way to be like, all right, that was awful. Let's both just give this game a chance to take off by restarting rather than wasting our time throwing a bunch of dice that aren't going to change the outcome. The second round of play that we did was worse than the first. I lost turn one. I lost before I had my first turn, because he went first the second time around. And the first game, I think I lost in turn two. But yeah, the next game, I lost turn one before I had actually had a turn. So, and same deal. At that point, both of us were just like, this isn't fun, and we stopped playing altogether that day. It was just stupid and ridiculous how things were working out. Now, mind you, I admit, I made some foolish tactical errors the first way around. The second way around was just simply the dice were just hell on wheels. He was basically rolling perfect. I'm rolling perfect garbage. And that was that. And even he was flat out, like I said, he agreed that he didn't want to continue on with that first game, even though he was winning, you know, hand over fist. It just was not good in his opinion. You know, he was not having fun getting of such an easy victory. So, and I don't blame him. But anywho, yeah, I had my whole fucking army wiped out to the last. I managed to kill one lone Rubric Marine before I went down. That was it. It was just awful. What went wrong? Okay, so we're playing 500 point combat patrol games because we're following Crusade, and we're doing a slow grow thing where round one starts at 500 points. So we're fighting on 44 by 30. We were doing the what mission was that? Damn it. Sweep and clear? I think it was sweep and clear. We played this mission, and the objectives didn't even matter in my case because I got so fucking destroyed. Anyways, point is that, we started playing and immediately everything started falling apart. So what went wrong? Okay, so tactically speaking, I fucked up my deployment for starters. However, I don't personally feel like my deployment was actually a bad choice in general terms. I think it was a bad choice because of my opponent specifically. And this is my bad for not understanding what my opponent was capable of, okay? I still haven't even followed up on, like, reading about the specifics and whatnot. That since there's a new codex coming out for Thousand Suns and such, it seemed silly to dig into figuring out the specifics on how to beat or what I would have done differently overall. Because planning for the future, I should say, rather, because there's a new codex coming out, so it's going to possibly change. But anyway, I was unaware. I knew that Thousand Suns had some pretty fucking scary mind bullets. I was unaware of just how hellishly stupid, like, the combos that they can pull off are just nasty. Basically what happened is apparently there's like two different powers that he's able to cast, and both of them had area of effect stuff. So he picks a target, he does damage to that target, mortal wounds, but then it hits everything within like 3 inches or 6 inches. I think it was 3 inches. Hits everything, every unit within 3 inches as well. Well, unfortunately, because of the way I deployed, my entire army, you could target one of the models in the middle and hit the entire fucking army with each attack. It was not cool at all. And I think he had an ability or something like that to even do one of the powers again, like back to back. And it was, like I said, it was embarrassing just how bad I lost. What did I learn? For starters, mortal wounds suck. I know I've talked about it before, like, being like, all right, you know, having a way to ignore mortal wounds is great and all, but how often do you really run into a constant barrage of mortal wounds? And realistically speaking, in most cases, you don't. Even psychic powers that can dish out mortal wounds, you don't normally have your whole fucking army get hit by one fucking psychic power. Mind you, had I known what I know now, yeah, I probably would have spread my army out. I would have put them in different spots and so on and so forth. The table wasn't very big, admittedly, so finding the room to do all that is and maneuver wasn't very easy. But all the same, I could have deployed and moved differently, and I didn't. Deny the Witch, using the Adeptus Sororitas test is great. They have a really cool ability with Deny the Witch, but it's very limited at the same time. So, okay, so think about it this in these terms. You could Deny the Witch. Let's say somebody rolls a 5, and that's enough to they needed to pass a psychic test. You know, they needed warp charge 5. They roll a 2 and a 3, or whatever combo of 2 die that makes a 5. So at this point, then, in order to knock it out, you need to roll a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12, right? You just have to beat it. I don't think it... maybe I'm getting it wrong. I don't think matches do it. I think you have to beat it. Admittedly, I haven't played a whole lot in a while, once again, and I haven't played against psychic stuff in a long time. So forgive me if I'm a little rusty about that part specifically. But the point being is that you can have any combination of two dice that gives you the numbers 6 through 12 in order to beat a warp charge 5. The likelihood that you'll pull that off is pretty decent. With the Sisters of Battle, yeah, every single model in the fucking army can deny the witch. That's cool. You know, whereas other armies would need to have a psyker specifically to count, you know, to counter and combat that enemy, to take a deny the witch test, you know? Yeah, the whole army gets it though. But the, whole army also, it has to be on a 6. Now, you can use Aegis of the Emperor, and then it's, you know, works on a 5 instead. But still, I only managed to block one power using the Deny the Witch test. So, yeah, beyond that, the whole Mortal Wounds thing is just, wow. So, I will backtrack a little bit, and I will say that I think if you have an army-wide way of skipping out on mortal wounds, that might actually be fairly useful, depending on your opponent, though. If your opponent is very psychic heavy, holy fuck do you ever need mortal wound protection. And I mean, that, I knew that. It was obvious. I know that that's how that shit works. But I did not know just how much can be pumped out in one fucking go. It was not, I mean, I had fun rolling the dice. I had fun finally getting to play the game, against new opponents and stuff. But in general, it was not the most fun game I've ever played. So, but yeah, what would I have done differently? I would have for sure spread out my deployment. That's a fucking yes. I probably would have brought some different shit to the table too. Honestly, I think I should have probably swapped out one of the Battle Sister squads for at least a Retributor squad, because that's one other thing I do have my roster. Namely, so that way I had some firepower that I could really throw down range and just obliterate his Demon Prince. Mind you, his Demon Prince has all sorts of invulnerable saves, and I would have had to hit and blah, blah, blah. But had I pulled that off, it would have been pretty fucking awesome. It would have... I feel like my game... I could have won, now that I think about it. The more I think on it, if I had found a way to wipe out his Demon Prince right off the bat, which I could have, based on the range of the table and everything else, I could, in theory, have managed to pull that off. If I could have done that in one round of shooting with Retributors... that would have been it. I think the game would have gone the complete flip opposite. His Demon Prince took up so much of his army's potential, that had he lost that, that would have just the whole thing. So now, that being said, Krista played against two opponents, and this was her first time playing against anybody who wasn't me. These were like her, you know, first like serious games, you know, as far as being very much like we're really buckling down and you know, no holds barred, we're playing the full game, the full nine yards. Not that I was going super easy on her, but like with the when we were doing practice stuff, but we were doing practice stuff. I'm trying to teach her how to play this game. I'm not just gonna be like, all right, well, now fuck you, I'm killing all your shit in an instant, and so on and so forth. You know, the first couple games, yeah, sure, put on the training wheels, but I did end up saying, all right, we're going to play full legit games, and I did win a decent portion of them against her, but they were close games quite frequently, and there were plenty that she had won too. I would say overall, playing the games, we had about 50-50. Although, I will say, once she figured out what list she actually wanted to run, I started losing really badly. So, fast forward to her playing her first games as part of this league and stuff. She plays against two opponents, a Grey Knight player and an Adeptus Custodes player. If girl's got skills, she manages to mop the floor, with particularly her first opponent, the Grey Knights. I didn't get to watch the whole thing because, well, I was, you know, playing my own game and stuff, while she was playing her first one. We also had one of our children along, the oldest one. So I was trying to not just, like, leave him to sit there and not be paid attention to in any capacity. We invited him along, hoping that this might, you know, give him a little bit more of a... because he does seem interested in the hobby and stuff. But thought, you know, hey, you know, maybe this will get him some more interest so that way he can put down his tablet and his Switch and, you know, and do some hobbying stuff with us. Because we very much love it. And we want our children to be able to enjoy it. Because much as I love video games and much as I don't think video games are a bad thing and so on and so forth, at the end of the day, they're not a super constructive hobby in comparison to something like this. They can be a very social hobby. They can be a very solo hobby. A lot of the socializing, though, in video games, too, is really toxic communities and stuff. Not that Warhammer's not. But, like, my local community and stuff is very nice. So, but anyway, point is, well, that was kind of the goal, and he was really excited about it, but he didn't participate at all. And I suspect the main reason he was excited about it is it meant that he had an extra day away from his siblings. What I did catch watching her play her games, the Grey Knights player, I think on turn one or two, I don't remember exactly, she managed to wipe out most of his army. She turned his Grey Knight strike squad into paste in like one round of combat. It was ridiculous. And then the Nemesis Dread Knight Grandmaster, you know, the giant baby carrier thing, he was like, you know, her opponent had planned to basically destroy her and that she didn't stand a chance against him. You know, he's doing a little bit of trash talk, nothing crazy or whatever. And there were some feel badsies and some tiltiness there. And I'm not knocking him in any capacity because personally I don't blame him. Not because he got beat by a girl and not because he got beat by someone who's new to the game. Although that second one is a little bit rougher to feel. But more to the point of you expected things to go one way and you didn't just lose, you lost in spectacular fashion, not unlike myself, so I feel your pain. And then when she played against her second opponent, the Adeptus Custodes player, it was a little more dragged out. It took several turns before the game was over, whereas that first game, I think, was called at the end of turn two, I think. And this one went to, like, into turn four before they called it. She once again managed to dominate. Boys, she's just throwing down two large mobs of boys with a war boss. And mind you, this is using 8th edition orc rules. So they are different now with 9th. But she her combo of her war boss and his aura abilities, his warlord trait, and then the unstoppable green tide stratagem, that shit all combined resulted in her being able to pull off some just crazy ridiculous shit, where she's just mowing people down. Oh, and she's rocking the goths. So in 9th edition things are going to be quite a bit different for her. I think that it's going to be better for her overall. Her whole strategy, game plan, long-term wise in this league, the way she's building her army, her play style, boys, boys, and more boys. You know, she's looking to get as many cheap-ass boys onto the field Just, you know, setting up a good proper wall and just mowing through, just sending a tide out to mow through the enemy. Does she end up losing a lot of models in the process? Oh, fuck yeah. She gets a bunch of the boys murdered. But that's even part of the point with that unstoppable green tide, which is no longer available in 9th edition. I know. My wife is really, really, really angry about that, actually. And I don't blame her. She, you know, she'll openly admit that it's kind of a cheesy way to really, you know, well, cheesy is maybe a strong word as far as what she'll admit, but it is a cheesy way of winning a game. But it's not cheating. It's far from cheating. It is totally legal in 8th edition. It's not legal in 9th, though. And there's a reason for that, because it is OP as fuck. To just be able to take a unit that's only got like one boy left and drop the whole fucking mob again, but this time you can drop it behind the enemy and in range to charge them. It's crazy shit. So yeah, especially on a smaller field like that. But she just annihilated. Like I said, it was, I'll be perfectly blunt. It was pretty fucking hot. You know, it's some sexy shit watching my wife just throw down some dice and just beat the crap out of an opponent. So now that I'm very turned on at this moment, now I'm distracted. I like my wife a lot. Anywho, point being is that tactically speaking, boys are amazing in 8th edition. Looking over what's available in 9th, with that, the boys are still on the menu. They are still a solid choice, especially if you're rocking Goths. There's some crazy combos you could do. The new 9th edition book does take away the Wa ability from the War Boss. It's no longer an Aura ability, but it's only a once per battle ability now, but it works in two stages. And stage one is better than the old version, and stage two is the old version. And it affects the entire field, not just anybody in range of the War Boss. So, yeah, it's if you're rocking a bunch of boys with the intention of charging into your enemy and you're playing as the Goths on top of it. Wow. And now with the, you know, with some of the other stuff that the 9th edition Orc Codex has to offer too, you know, a neg one on Chapas, extra toughness on boys. And mind you, for 1 point extra a piece, that's it. 1 point extra. Yes, that'll add up, quickly. But it's still only 1 point extra for what I consider a lot of extra firepower under the hood. So, but we're not going to fully get into the codex or anything this week. I still need to finish my Diptus Auroritas coverage. I still need to go back and do AdMech coverage, oddly enough. I don't know if we'll ever get around to going that far back now, unfortunately. I gotta get better about this shit. But we will dive into the spiciness of the orcs very soon. So tactically speaking, like I said, boys over toys, and spread your army out if your enemy's got psychic powers. So beyond that, round two's coming up here very shortly. By the sounds of it, round one has been pretty productive and good for most of the league. I will be following up not just my games but other people's games that are bigger, more applicable, etc., to the league. So, but at any rate, I think that's about it for today. Bit of a shorter episode and all, but, once again, times are ticking. So, but thank you all for listening. As usual, you can check out the Facebook page, facebook.com/theRegimentalVoxPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter @RegimentalVox. You can also hit up the painting studio, Danger Close Painting Studio, on Facebook as well. So if you want to check that out, go for it. So and as always too, please, by all means, share with your friends. I'd love to get more listeners and work on expanding this podcast. So but thank you guys for listening. I will catch you all in the next episode. This is Caleb Meyer signing out for the evening. Have a wonderful week, everyone.